much more than enough. You're more than enough for me. Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Jehovah Rapha, you're my healer. It's by your stripes I've been.
Let's stand as we invite His presence this morning.
For me, Jehovah Jireh, my provider, you are more than enough for me. Take God's part. My God is real, for I can feel Him in my heart. Well, my God, He's real. He's real in my soul. My God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me,
hands with somebody while we sing.
My God is real, he's real in my soul. My God. Love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I can feel him in my soul. Some folk may doubt, some folk may scorn, all can go on, just leave me alone. But as for me, I'll take God's part, for God is real, for I can feel him in my heart. Oh, my God, he's real in my soul. My God is real, for he has washed and made me whole. Oh, his love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is my soul, I cannot tell how you felt when Jesus took all your sins away. Oh, since that day, since that very hour, God has been real, for I feel his Holy Ghost power. This morning, real in my soul, God is real. He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, it's like pure gold. My God is real, for I feel him in my soul.
Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise this morning. Amen. I'm glad that we know he's real.
Amen.
Amen. You know, it's kind of interesting, Brother Furman picked that song. I was just telling Brother Donnie before I came out here that I know many people don't like feelings, and they preach against feelings anymore. But oh, Brother Bram said we don't go off of feeling as evidence, but he says it's good to feel him every once in a while. Yeah. It's good to feel him. I'm glad we are able to feel him. Amen. It said he's a high priest that can be touched by the feelings of our infirmities.
Amen.
And so I'm glad that I can feel him every once in a while. There's a little boy, Brother Bram tells a story. He was flying a kite, and it was way up beyond the clouds, couldn't see it, and he had a string in his hand. The man said, "How do you know there's even a kite up there?" He said, "Because I can feel it tugging every once in a while." I'm glad sometimes when we get down and discouraged and Satan tries to beat us over the head, we can feel God tugging every once in a while. Let us know he's still there. Amen. I wanted to make a few announcements. There's some lost and found items there at the back table, so if you've misplaced anything, you might check that before you leave this morning. And then they're having problems with one of the women's restrooms, so if there's no brothers in the men's restroom, it has a lock on the door, and the deacons can let you know if we get overflow or something, a line backing up, we can maybe share that one or something. But also, there's a prayer request from Sister Stephanie Duvall. She's got a friend, Mrs. Frankie King, who is diagnosed with metastatic pancreatic cancer. We want to remember that in prayer for sure. And want to continue to remember Sister Buckles in the hospital, and the little Beletka baby and the little Williams baby that are also in the hospital. And how many has unspoken prayer requests you'd like to bring to the Lord with an uplifted hand? Amen. I know the Lord sees each one. I'm asking Brother Trevor if he'd come this morning, just lead us in a word of prayer over these requests. Good to have each and every one of you with us this morning, those of you that are visitors and the home folks and each and every one of you. It's good to be gathered together to worship the Lord.
Amen. You happy to be here together, amen, gathered in the name that is above every name, the name of the Lord Jesus Christ? Amen. I'm just so thankful that we have such an opportunity to be together and to be gathered in His name. It's an honor and a privilege. Let's just go to Him in prayer. Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, we just take this moment to bow our heads to the ground and humble ourselves before You, Father. Lord, acknowledging that You are the great King, You are the great I Am. Father, You are the Almighty One, the Mighty God. Lord, we bow before You, Lord, and acknowledge Your greatness. I want to tell You, Lord, that we know You're great. We know You're wonderful, Lord. Oh, Father, we believe all that You've told us in Your Word and all that the prophets have spoken. Father, we count it a privilege this morning to be in that number, Lord Jesus, that can have the revelation of what You're doing in our day, Lord. And Lord, to know that it lives inside the hearts of each one of us, Father. Your Holy Ghost can come on the inside and Lord, to live and dwell in these hearts of flesh. Oh, Lord, we are unworthy of that, but so thankful. Father, we love You tonight, this morning. Father, we ask that You would come and dwell in the midst of this room, this people this morning. Father, that You would anoint the minister, Lord, to minister the words of eternal life, that it would be alive and active this morning. As Your word says, the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. Lord, may it cut where it needs to be cut. Lord, that there would only be what is of You that is left, Father. Lord, so many times our hearts are so deceitful and we won't even see, Lord, what needs to be cut. We'll think we're fine, but Father, You go to cutting, and Lord, we will just submit to You. So Lord, anoint us to hear, anoint Brother Donnie to speak, Lord. We put ourselves in Your hands, Lord, looking to You for all things. We ask it in Jesus' name, for Your glory, amen.
Amen. God bless you. You can be seated this morning. I think Sister Stephanie has a special for us.
Began to walk with the Lord. I did not always trust Him, and how He longed for me to understand that I could. So through the valley, the things that trouble me.
Appreciate that this morning. Amen. Amen. Sister Jennifer, have you got a special for us this morning?
Lily of the valley, let your sweet aroma fill my life. And Rose of Sharon, show me how to grow in beauty in God's sight. You're the fairest of 10,000. Make me a reflection of your life. And day stars shine down on me. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. Oh, and let your word speak to me and show me. Wrong and make it right. Day stars shine down on me, and let your love shine through me in the night. Lord, I've seen a world that's dying, wounded by the master of disease. I was groping in the darkness, haunted by the years of past defeat. But when I see you standing near me, Lord, shining with compassion in your eyes, and I pray, Jesus, shine down. Let your love shine through me in the night. Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you open up the door. And let your word speak to me and show me what I've never wrong and make it right. Jesus, shine down on me and let your love shine through me in the night.
Sing it with me.
Oh, lead me, Lord, I'll follow. Anywhere you
You appreciate all of our special singers this weekend. Amen. Thankful this morning.
Amen.
Amen. You thankful for all that God's done in the services so far?
Yes.
Amen. I'm expecting more this morning. Amen. We appreciate Brother Donnie coming and being with us. Appreciate the presence of the Lord here in our midst. And my, all the singing, all the music has just been, this is like heaven to me.
Amen.
Amen. We're going to ask Brother Donnie if he'd come at this time. Let's just sing that again together as he does.
Thanks.
According to the scripture, there was some people that came to Jesus one day. They were terribly, terribly afflicted with leprosy. Jesus moved for all of them. but there was only one of them that come back to give him thanks. I'm afraid that speaks of so many people down through time. They just receive of his abundance every day. The human being takes in over 90-some thousand breaths in a week's time. How much oxygen, how much water. It's sad when even a lot of Christians don't thank the Lord for those simple, simple things that happen to us every day. We realize if it was not for the grace of God, in this age that we live, when it's such darkness all around us, we'd be totally insane. The majority of the world today are nuts, absolutely groping in insanity. And you want looking for miracles. After you get done out of church, go get your vehicle, look in your rearview mirror, and you'll see one. You've survived another week in hell on earth in Laodicea, and you've got your right mind. That's a lot to be thankful for, isn't it? Let's turn to the book of Numbers, if you would, today. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. Certainly want to say we've enjoyed being here with Brother Nathan and the saints and different visitors that are here. Thankful for some of the saints that have come up from our home church in Johnson City. Grateful most of all for the presence of the Lord. Amen. It'd be nice for us to get together and talk and be able to have fellowship, but if he doesn't show up, there won't be much accomplished, will there? Sure. I'd like to speak to you today on the result of assimilation. Numbers chapter 13, verse 30. And Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, "Let us go up at once and possess it, for we are well able to overcome it." But the men that went up with him said, "We be not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we." And they brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched, and of the children of Israel, saying, "The land through which we have gone to search it is a land that eateth up the inhabitants thereof. And all the people that we saw in it are men of great stature." Now their lie has swollen from just being a few of the children of Anak till now everybody is so big you can never take it. You see, this is the way fear does. Whenever you first open up and you begin to fear and question God's word, then another question and another and another and another. They're exemplifying this here. "There we saw the giants, the sons of Anak, which come of the giants, and we were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight." Let me read to you again today the meaning of the word assimilate: to take in, to incorporate as one's own, to bring into conformity of customs and attitudes. Let's pray together. Lord Jesus, thank you today for your word. Lord, we come to this closing service of this series of meetings, and we want to say thank you, Lord Jesus, for your presence being here with us to help us, to minister to us. We believe, Lord, that there's been things been accomplished that only you could do, and for that we are so grateful. You see, as we come again today, we have various needs in our lives, in our walks, many in their bodies, in their home, their marriages, their finances, whatever it is. But we're bringing our needs to you, and we look at it as opportunities of faith by which you can move by your power to help us. No matter how great our needs are, how phenomenal that they might be for us to comprehend them and think, how could it ever come to pass? But yet if we can look beyond that and be able to anchor our faith in your promised word, we know that you can do that which is totally, completely impossible. And we are looking for such things to happen right here today. Speak to us, Father, your great infallible word, in Jesus Christ's name. And the saints said,
amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. Let's read again. Keep your Bible there in Numbers chapter 14, 20, verse 22. We'll look again at God's response to all of those spies and the people who've now assimilated their unbelief into what they have got the view out of the promised land. "All those men which have seen my glory and my miracles, which I did in Egypt and the wilderness, and have tempted me now these 10 times, and have not hearkened to my voice, surely they shall not see the land which I swear unto their fathers, neither shall any of them that provoked me see it." You know, God is so merciful. God is so loving. God is so forgiving. But we know that God actually reaches a place in dealing with people to where God will say, no more. I will give you no more mercy, no more compassion, no more forgiveness, because you have questioned me and questioned me and questioned me. And I have proved it over and over and over again, and still it is not enough. Now, this is where that the children of Israel have reached this particular spot. Look in verse 24. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully, him will I bring into the land whereinto he went, and his seed shall possess it. Now, I love it when God actually makes his word so real that he calls your name. I believe this is what's happened to us in this day. Now, let us look at this verse, because it contains so many wonderful things. But my servant Caleb. Now, I want you to notice that God is claiming his servant as his own. Caleb is not just saying, well, God is my God, but God is now saying he is my servant. Now, I love it when it's that way, because I believe it's reciprocating to where that we claim God as ours, but I want it to be where God will claim me as his. But he says, my servant Caleb. Now, the word Caleb in the Hebrew, it actually means dog. Dog. Now, to us in our Western culture and our Western civilization, a dog can be a very important thing to us. A dog can be a friend. It can be a companion. A lot of maybe you have them in your home. You have all kinds of dogs. But you have to understand, to this custom, to be called a dog was one of the lowest animals in the Bible. The tithe of a dog, which is the word that dog transferred back and forth between dog and whore in the Old Testament. Now, you imagine a man's name being called a dog, but God says, this dog is mine. Amen. Well, I don't mind being a dog as long as God says I'm his. Amen. I'd rather be a dog of God's than a sheep of whatever more, or a goat or whatever more of the world, or whatever they want to identify. So as long as I'm his, call me what you wish. Amen. Now, you know, it must have been so peculiar for this guy, because he's dealing with all of these Jews who have El and Yon and Nai and all this in their name, which is El, of course, is God, and Nai, N-A-I, is part of God's name, and they would have all these syllables of God's name engrafted into their name. But this guy has the name which is identified every time anybody calls him. They're calling him dog. Dog here, dog there. Hey, dog, you want to go over here and get a bite to eat? Hey, dog, you want to go to the restaurant? Hey, dog, you want to go to church? All of his life, he was branded with this name. Oh, my goodness. Some of y'all, I hope you're not going to call Caleb here today. You're going to get a complex. Now, Caleb is a very interesting character. He's one of my favorite characters in the Bible. God says about him, my servant Caleb, because he has another spirit in him. Now, there are several words in the Old Testament that are used for the referral to spirit. But this one here is really outstanding. It goes back to the book of Genesis chapter 1 verse 2. When the Bible says the spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and God began to bring the earth into a beautiful existence. And the word spirit there is actually ruach. Ruach, that is the Hebrew word. It was Ruach Elohim that moved upon the face of the deep. Now, here God says about Caleb that Caleb had another part of Ruach in him. It's also the same one that's used in Genesis chapter 3 verse 8 when God came walking in the cool. The word cool in the English is the word we refer to it, but actually in the Hebrew it is the exact same word again, ruach. So God came walking in the ruach, and he says about Caleb that Caleb had another ruach in him. Another different from what? Different than the other 10.
Now the other 10, they were Jews, and they could trace back their pedigree, and they came from the tribe of Reuben, or they came from the tribe of Naphtali, or the tribe of Asher, or Judah, or whatever more. They could trace their bloodline, and they were born in the church, and they cut their teeth on a message pew, as we'd say, but they didn't have a bit more faith than the man in the moon and the promise of God. But here was a man that could trace his pedigree back, and I'll give you a little bit of it here momentarily. His pedigree was not one that you could brag much about. It wasn't one that Jews would have been proud of. But there was something about this man that his pedigree might not have been much, but his spirit was absolutely excellent. He had an attitude toward the promise of God that if God said it, God could and would bring it to pass. Now God says about him, my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him and hath followed me fully. Now Caleb actually, as I mentioned to you last night just briefly, that Caleb's genealogy comes from Edom. He was not a Jew by birth. Actually, he's called in the scripture Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite. Now the Kenizzites were sons of Esau. And they were inheritance of Edom or Esau. So you imagine now, this man, he doesn't have the right bloodline. He doesn't have the right daddy. He don't have the right mama. He don't have the right genealogy, but he has the right spirit. Which would you rather have? I'd rather have the right spirit than to be a Reagan or a Brown or a Smith or whatever more that you think is a royal lineage. I'd rather be the lineage of faith and have the right ruach in me, the right spirit in me that anoints me to believe the word of God. That, well, my grandpa fished with Brother Branham. I'm nothing against that at all. I wish I could have been there too. But I'm glad that I'm able to believe this word today without ever being there to see what happened. I wasn't there whenever Moses said that God came down on the mountain. Do you believe God come down on the mountain? Are you sure you believe that? We only have one man's word for it. You only have one man's word for it that God wrote the Ten Commandments. You have one man's word for it that God was the one who come down on the mountain and gave him all these laws. You have one man's word for it that God done many things in the Bible. There was no newspaper reporters, no television cameras to record it. And yet we have one man's word for it. We have a few people's word for it in the New Testament that Jesus actually raised from the dead. We have a few eyewitnesses that saw some of the supernatural that God done. Are you sure you believe it? If you have ruach in you, you believe it. If you have to have some type of geological evidence and wait for somebody to dig up some rocks and be able to find a piece of man who wrote on it, I feel sorry for you. But if you've got a real piece of the rock, the revelation is real to you. I don't need a rock. I don't need them to dig around and find something to me. You understand that theologians debated the very existence of Pontius Pilate for almost 2,000 years. As a matter of fact, in most Bible schools, they taught that Pontius Pilate was a figment of most people's imagination until back in 1984 when they're digging around up in Ascalon and some of the places there and they found an inscription on Pontius Pilate. Well, they had to go back and say, well, I guess we was wrong. You imagine spending most of your life blasting this and saying Pontius Pilate never existed. Pontius Pilate never existed. And yet they find a rock with his name on it. Well, I'm so glad that my Bible here already had his name wrote on it. I'm not waiting for them to dig up a rock or some type of a looked over newspaper article. While they're still looking for their articles, I'm feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. I'm assimilating more and more and more of the word until before long, I'm going to get to a place my body's not going to be able to take what I'm eating. And it's going to force me to a body change. I'm going to look at the promise of God. Well, can you explain it all? Of course not. How in the world could Caleb be able to explain all the ins and the outs? How could he explain Moses getting angry and striking the rock and then when he disobeyed the word? How could he understand Moses was such a temper? How could he explain this and that and the other? He couldn't explain that, but all he knew was he had never been so free in his life. He had never seen God move in such a way as he had under the ministry of this man. So you know what? He just believed God was with the man. But my servant Caleb, because he had another spirit with him, hath followed me fully. Now, actually, the Kenizzites were adopted into the tribe of Judah. Israel did not have a 13th tribe by which they would allow the engrafted Gentiles, which are going to merge into the tribes of Israel, as the sign of redemption. The mystery of redemption of the Gentiles was already being reflected way back in the Exodus. And yet God did not have them to start another tribe, a 13th tribe, which would be for the Gentiles, which would be merged in. But what would happen was the Gentiles, which were engrafted in, would become assimilated into different tribes of Israel. You remember, of course, some of them. Rahab was an Amorite. Ruth was a Moabite. And Caleb was a Kenizzite. Just three to give you an example. All three of them were engrafted into the king tribe, which was the tribe of Judah. Now here are three Gentiles are merged into the royal tribe of Judah, and they were actually a part of the descent of the humanity of the Lord Jesus. Don't tell me God can't do what he wants to do. Now here Caleb is one of those type of believers that he looks at the promised word of God and he just simply believes what God said. If God can do it, if God said we're going to get the land, then we're going to get the land. He can't understand all the giants. He can't understand the walls, but yet they're going to get it. Now notice in Joshua 14:13, and Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh Hebron for an inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite unto this day, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. Also now Joshua chapter 15 verse 13. And unto Caleb the son of Jephunneh he gave a part among the children of Judah. Now, you don't find this being said about a person who was born in the tribe of Judah, or a person born in the tribe of Gad, or Dan, or Asher, or Naphtali, or any of the rest of them, but you find this terminology when you find one that has been assimilated into the tribe because their faith has been joined up to what they're following, the word of that hour. So he was given a part among the tribe of Judah. According to the command of the Lord to Joshua, even the city of Arba, the father of Anak, which is the city of Hebron. Now, why is this happening? Because this man has so assimilated into the program of God. Now, looking at it naturally, it would seem as if though he did not belong. And you know, when he come into the program of God, he must have felt quite awkward, but he must have been an outstanding type of man for Moses and Joshua to even pick him as a leader. Why would Moses pick a Gentile as a leader to be able to go over and spy out the land in the first place? It was a predestinated mystery of God, my brother, sister. It was wrote in the mystery of his life that God ordained this man to be brought into the very economy of God. Now we know historically that his mother, actually before they ever come out of the land of Egypt, that his mother, being an Israelite, married a Kenizzite while they were in the land of Egypt. And then he was allowed to be merged or married into the tribe of Judah. Now notice, so by marriage, he was allowed to come into the tribe. Don't you understand? This is why you're saved today by the grace of God. It's not because of who you are, it's because of who you married. It's not because how tall you are, how short you are, how rich you are, what your name is. It's because who you have married, Jesus Christ, the Word. So they were assimilated. So the work of assimilation already started in this man's background before he ever actually got into the land. So he was very familiar with the result and the power and the pressure of assimilation, to be assimilated into what God wanted them to become. I love the scripture here in Joshua chapter 14, verse 7. 40 years old was I when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me to Kadesh Barnea to espy out the land. And I brought him word again, word again, word again, as it was in my heart. Now notice his perception. So he brings back to Moses and the children of Israel word. He brings them what he perceives. Now it's amazing what you perceive and how people look at it. Some people can look at one thing and see exactly the same thing that other people are looking at, but they see something totally different. And they will bring back word according to what that has made an impression upon their life as they have assimilated. Now he said, I brought him word again as it was in my heart. Now remember, Caleb was now the recipient of two divine promises. One was he wasn't going to die. And the other one was he's going to inherit this promise. But now they're going to have a 40-year trek in the wilderness, back and forth, back and forth. You imagine every flu that come around through the camp and the devil said, I'm going to kill old Caleb. Caleb said, you know what? I don't need no flu shot. I've got a promise of God. I'm not going to die until I go in that land. Everything come to the thing, whether it was typhoid or the mumps or the measles or whatever more, it didn't shake him at all. God's done promised him, you're not going to die. You're actually going to walk into that land. I hope you don't think I'm crazy, but I believe with all of my heart there's people sitting right here today that will not see death, but you will be changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. You believe it's that close to us, friends. But think of how difficult that it must have been for this man, because he sees many of his comrades die. Now remember, the thousands that were all moved by what this assimilation of unbelief did, they're going to die in the wilderness, and one thing after another is going to come. A plague will kill 14,700. This unbelief will come, and God will strike them with that. These are Caleb's friends. These are his relatives. These are people that he knew, and they're dying all around him like flies. They're going everywhere, but it's not moving him at all. His face is right on the promise of the word. Look around us, friends. People are dying spiritually. Our world has never been in the violent state of corruption that it's in, and this day when evil is rampant on every side, but yet we are not letting that hinder us at all. We are marching toward the promise of God. Are you with me today? Is this your determination and your desire? Oh, if people fall to the right, if people fall to the left, if people say there is no God, there is that, that does not change us at all. We're moving right toward the promise of God. We don't have our eyes upon the things of the world. Politics is bad. The situation of our nation is bad. ISIS is here and there and everywhere. But let me tell you one thing. We've got a God that is omnipotent. His power cannot be outdone or broken. And we must, as Caleb of old, train our eyes. Oh, Brother Donnie, what about my children? What about this? Keep believing God for them. Keep praying that God will be merciful to them. But don't let your children slow you down. Don't let your work slow you down. Don't let the unbelief of people around you who have assimilated fear and doubt and question, don't let that slow you down. But you keep assimilating the word of God as Caleb of old and said, I'm just as able today to take that land as I was 40 years ago. Oh my, you imagine 45 years. 45 years. That's not a very old person. I used to think it was, but really it ain't. 40 years. I was a young man, relatively, whenever God spoke this promise to me of God's prophet. Now I've went around and around and around and around this wilderness. But I want you to know my faith is just as strong today as it was when that promise was made. Amen. Well, 40 years ago. Caleb, are you sure? Just as sure. Now, he's 85. Now, you'd think most people 85. He's 20 years past retirement. So he'd speak to Joshua and say, now, Brother Joshua, when I was a young man, I was real excitable, really an emotional type of a guy. And I wanted that mountain then. But of course now I've matured more. And I realize emotion don't really need to be involved in religion. And I'm more settled down. And I wanted a mountain when I was so young. But now all I want is just a small plot of ground for a vegetable garden. Maybe a few herbs on the side. And a few little flower beds. because I'm past this stage of needing this mountain. I'm no longer a mountain seeker. Just give me a flat spot. Wherever you choose is perfectly fine with me. I don't even care. Leave me a few seeds of asparagus and broccoli. Oh, surely he wouldn't eat broccoli. Tomatoes and corns and beans and stuff like that. And just leave me here by myself. And leave me a few zinnia flowers and just some things like that. And I'll settle down here in retirement. And I've had a rocking chair made. I'm going to put it on the front porch. And I'm just going to sit down here and rock myself into eternity. I'm going to settle down. I'm not a mountain guy no more. That's not the man I'm preaching about. That may be what some of you want. That may be what you want as you get older in life, in your spiritual walk with God. Some of you have been around for many, many years. It's no time to stop now. But Brother Donnie, I've been around so much. How much more can God give to us? I believe what the prophet said when he said there are untapped resources in God that we've never yet broke into. No doubt there's things about grace and mercy and redemption and salvation and things in the very simple basics of the word that we still don't see yet. I still want my mountain. Do you want a rocking chair or do you want a mountain? You tell me. Well, glory. I don't mean to scare you northerners. What would make this man still have this? The spirit of Ruach Elohim. You see, this man had received installments of fulfillment all along the journey. Installments of fulfillment. Now, he hadn't got the full payment yet, but every now and then God would just give him a payment. A payment of healing or a payment of revelation or just a payment. You know, he hadn't got the whole thing. Amen. But he was getting installments. That's what I get along the way, ain't you? When I get a revelation from this word or get in his presence like he was here last night to me, that's another installment. That's an installment of a great eternal day that lays right in front of us. Each installment, it only led to more enthusiasm of the word of God that he's going to get the final payment. Praise God. Notice this in verse 8. Joshua chapter 14, verse 8, if you'd like to read with me. Nevertheless, my brethren that went up with me made the heart of the people melt. Oh my goodness. Made the heart of the people melt, dissolve, be liquefied, cause to vanish or to intimidate. My brothers made our people so intimidated. You mean you believe that still? We've told you there's walls there. There's giants up. There's all kinds of faults in this promised land. So they had a power of assimilation themselves to where they would say, you believe? Well, I believe. Are you foolish? Wipe that smile off your face. You still believe that Bible there? You believe in promises are true? You ought to be ashamed of yourself. I've chosen you. I've proved to you. Them walls are so thick, there's no way we can get through them. Them walls of Jericho, they weren't our chariot races around them. Some of them other places, we saw men and they were giants. Amen. You're foolish. You're simple. So they intimidated the people and they just cowed down.
Come on. Hold on. Preach now.
But over on the side stands Caleb. Sharpening his sword. You know what the word Anak means? Long neck.
Come on now. Think about
this. He said, we saw the sons of Anak. That makes me want to get my sword out. It depends on how you look at it. Can you imagine? They looked at it and they trembled. Don't you see what they had? They had great big walls and great big giants and a little bitty God. But Caleb had a great big God and little bitty walls and little bitty giants and little bitty problems compared to God. Oh, hallelujah. My brethren made the heart of the people melt. But I wholly followed the Lord, my God. Friends, I don't want to upset you today. And you know what? I'm not serving the God of Brother Branham. I'm not serving the God of John the Baptist. Now listen to me. Don't twist it around. I'm not serving a historical God that God was and God was. I'm serving an is God. He's my God. He hears my prayers. He loves me. He cares for me. God don't want you to say, well, if Brother Branham was here, or if John the Baptist was here. He's here. A greater than John the Baptist is here. A greater than Elijah is here. It's the Lord God himself. We don't want to serve a historical God. Oh, if we could go back to the 60s and the 50s, why in the world would we want to? This message has moved and gathered a people around the world, and it's calling them for a rapture, and we are assimilating into that. That final stage before the change. So Caleb didn't say the Lord God of Moses, the God of Joshua, or the God of Abraham. He was not ashamed to say, he's my God. God called him his servant, so why'd he should be ashamed to call him his God? Well, glory to God. Some of y'all friend let me know. Notice in Deuteronomy chapter 20 verse 2. This is their approach to battle. Now, this is what God tells them. It shall be that when you come nigh into the battle, that the priest shall approach and speak unto the people, and shall say unto them, hear, O Israel, you approach this day to battle against your enemies. Let not your hearts faint. Fear not, and do not tremble, neither be ye terrified because of them. Why is this important in approaching battle? All it takes is one coward.
Lay it all down.
Now, if you've got your forces lined up and they're head on to each other, all it takes is one man. And he starts running. And there goes hundreds after him. It's the mob mentality. The panicking of the mob. Did he have the command? Maybe the general told him to leave. Maybe the captain told him to leave. Oh, I'm leaving with him. I'm heading out of here. Now, you imagine every battle they fought, the priest, the ministry. It's to stand before them and say, don't you be afraid. Don't you understand why you need to go to church? Don't you understand why you need a man of God that can be led of the Holy Ghost? And God will pull him right away from his notes, and he don't even know himself. Why am I going this way? Why am I going that way? It's because your needs. Friends, don't never get to a spot that you think this man right here can bring it to church in his briefcase. He can't. You are a great part of what any service will be because you pull on that gift in his life. Oh, we're not here looking for discernment like it was in the days of the prophet, but the discernment comes by the word speaking to you. How many times has it happened to us that we'd come to church talking about something you and your wife, and you get to church and the preacher get up and say almost word for word what you talked about? Who is that? The Lord Jesus Christ. He's meeting with his people and giving you what you need. Courage for the battle. I don't know about you. I need courage for my battles. I need strength. I need encouragement to face my enemies. Notice in verse 4, for the Lord your God is he that goeth with you to fight for you against your enemies to save him. Look in verse 8. And the officer shall speak further. Now here they bring it on down to another level. And the officer shall speak further unto the people, and they shall say, what man is there among you that is fearful and faint-hearted? Let him go. Wow, that's really encouraging. I'm at another man's church, but I'm going to go ahead and say it. All you chickens, go to house. We don't need no gathering of chickens. It's ego time. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Go to Benny Hinn. He gathers the hens. We're interested in gathering eagles, aren't we, Brother Nathan? We're not interested in cowards. Well, it can't be done. It's too great. You get out of here. You get out. Take your old defeat and your old fearful thing and get away from us. Some of y'all's blood pressure ain't been that high since your wife had her first baby. What man is there that's among you that has fear, faint-hearted? Just go to the house. This is what they actually told him before they're fixing the fight. Look, if you're a coward, go back home and milk a cow. get in the kitchen where you belong, cook some eggs or something. You imagine some of them. Bumped right into Caleb. Oh. Where are you going? I'm going to check my horse. So. It's tied up about 35 miles on the other side. I'll be back. Text me how the battle goes. Oh, my. I want to be like this in the book of Judges, chapter 8, verse 4. And Gideon came to Jordan and passed over he and the 300 men that were with him. Faint! Faint! Yet pursuing. Faint! Yet pursuing. Gideon and 300 men chasing thousands. And they were faint, yet pursuing. I want to be that kind of Christian, don't you? If I get weary, if I get down, if I get discouraged, if I get faint, let me get faint. Oh my, but don't let me be faint-hearted. There is a difference. You can be faint, you can be weary, you can be down, you can be discouraged, but there's a great difference in being faint and faint-hearted. And you're getting them come to the battle, and they press, and they press, and they were wore out and exhausted, and maybe we'd come by and hear when they were breathing, my, and the sweat that was pouring off of their face, and they said, brothers, can we do it? Yes, we can do it. Are you sure, Gideon? Yes, we can do it. We are faint, we are weary, we are down, but let's keep pursuing. Oh my, Brother Nathan, I actually quoted it to you last night. We'll read it to you today, Joshua chapter 2, verse 9. And whatever Rahab had told the spies, she said unto them, I know that the Lord hath given you the land, that your terror has fallen upon us. And all the inhabitants of the land faint because of you. Now this was what the enemy was saying about the children of Israel. But you see, the devil is the type of guy that will talk you into robbing a bank and call the cops on you while you're doing it. He's the type of guy that'll tell you, you better run. The enemy's going to get you, when in reality, the enemy is trembling at your presence. But it's the power of words. If he can convince you your weapons aren't sufficient, if he can convince you you don't have the ability, you don't have the generals and whatever more to lead you in this kind of a battle, you can absolutely be overwhelming in your power and your representation, and he will talk you out of your position. This was what was being uttered 40 years prior. The victor was right there 40 years ahead of time. Now remember, Rahab is at 40 years later. Right. It was already being talked. Oh Lord, here they come. They're coming. They're coming. Oh, we better find a hole to hide into. Where in the world are we going? But that same devil had told them over here, there ain't no way you can do it. There ain't no way. The victory was laying right in front of them. I wonder how close some of you are today to an absolute miracle. Amen. Wonder how close you are to that daughter of yours being saved, or your husband, or whatever more. You're laying that close to a miracle. They were laying that close to walking into the land, and the enemy was scared to death. But all he had to do was talk to them and convince them, we can't do this. There's just no way. We might as well make us a captain and go back to Egypt. Wow. We've been under this prophet's ministry for all these years. Now look what he's done us. So we don't need another prophet to lead us out here. We better make us a captain. Come on. And the truth of it was, the enemy was saying, you see him? You see him? What do you think? Are they there? No, I think they're just waiting. They tell me they're so powerful. That God is so big among them. They ain't got no Big Macs, they ain't got no McDonald's, they ain't got no Walmart. They tell me they've been wearing the same shoes for 40 years. They tell me they got the same, that God of theirs, Hallelujah. I feel like shouting a little bit. That God of theirs is so powerful. They've been wearing the same clothes for all these years. That God, when they run out of bread, you know what they tell me? They tell me that God rained bread right out of heaven. And when they didn't have no water, that prophet went over there, amen, and began to smite a rock. And what did he do? Water came right out of the rock. They tell me that God. You imagine testimony after 11 when the devil has to testify the power of God. This was what their enemy was saying. But they assimilated into the report of 10 men. 10 men anointed by demons. Demons from hell. So anointed these men that millions of people believed their words over the word of a prophet of God. And they assimilated. But Caleb said, no. You following this move? No way. Amen. Caleb was not part of the move against Moses. When Dathan and Korah raised up, Caleb refused to be a part of that move. Hallelujah. He refused to be a part of the move and Moses' sister raised him. You're not the only one that God's used. God's using all of us. Caleb refused to be a part of any of that. Thank the Lord. I hope some of Caleb's children cheering this morning. Notice in verse 10, we have heard how the Lord. If you're reading your Bible there, you'll see it's capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D. This mysterious name of God was not made known to the Gentiles. How did she know it? This is part of the secret of Yah. In Psalm 68, he that rideth upon the clouds by his name, Yah. His name was a secret. How did she know his name? I'll let him answer that for you. We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you. When you come up out of Egypt, they're reminiscing and talking about 40 years ago. They heard all the testimonies, all the miracles. They had assimilated what God had done and it scared the fire out of them. And you're these people have been right there what was and they assimilated fear and walked right away from it. Would you imagine this predestinated seed? Oh, glory to God. God dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you come up out of Egypt and when you did unto the kings of the Amorites that were on the other side of Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom ye utterly destroyed. And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts did melt. Neither did there remain any more courage in any man because of you. Now you're talking about powerful when the Almighty identifies himself with a group of people so much that people are not just scared of the Almighty, but they're scared of his people. It don't say they're scared of God, and they was. That goes without saying. What they was afraid of was them people. Because God had their back. And their front, and their head, and their side, and their toes, and everything else. They said, when we heard this, we were so afraid. This is what Caleb was moving under. He was moving under that anointing. He knew it was there. It had already went before him. Oh, children, can't you see why? The real child of God, you imagine the devil scratches his head. Amen. He tries to figure out what in the world is wrong with them people. I send sickness. I send trouble. I send division. I send church splits. I raise up all kinds of websites and I do this and that and the other. What's the matter with them people? They still live right. They still go to church. They've got a greater determination than ever before. What's the matter with them? Amen. Glory to God. We just got another spirit in us. That's all. Notice this in Joshua chapter 5 verse 1. It came to pass when all the kings of the Amorites were on the side of Jordan and westward, and all the kings of the Canaanites which were by the sea heard that the Lord had dried up waters of Jordan before the children of Israel until we were passed over. Their heart melted. Neither was there any spirit in them anymore because of the children of Israel. And Satan tried to reverse the effect. You imagine how foolish they looked in the eyes of God. When the accuser went before the throne of God and said, "Hey, look at your kids down there. You've done all these miracles among them. The Canaanites, the Jebusites, the Hittites, the Amorites, they're terrified. They are terrified because of what you've done. And your kids down there are fussing and fighting, saying you can't do it. Now what you think about your young'uns, God? There's something, ain't it? You send them a prophet, you send them angels food, give them water out of the rock. Boy, you got some really good young'uns, God. I'll tell you, friends, I've made a lot of failures in my life. One thing that gets me about my failures is to know that that accuser will go before the throne of God and throw my mistakes and my failures in the face of my daddy. Maybe you're proud of yours. I'm proud of none of mine. I wish I could live a life without them, but I know as a human they're going to be there. But by God's grace, I want to minimize them. We talk so much about grace and forgiveness. I thank God for that. But I'm of this persuasion that if the grace of God can come and forgive me for something I've done wrong, can't the power of God help me to keep me from doing wrong in the first place? Isn't that just as great a testimony, if not greater than the forgiveness of God? Certainly we need the forgiveness of God. But I believe He's here today to help us live a life in such a way that Satan lays a trap. And we live so close to God, the Spirit of God said, don't go that way, go around that. And you divert it by the presence of God. Is not that the Holy Ghost leading you? Oh my. Joshua chapter 14 verse 10. And now behold, the Lord hath kept me alive, as He said, these 45 years, even since the Lord gave this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now lo, this day. Happy birthday, Caleb. I'd use that for my text this morning, but I was afraid it'd so disturb you Yankees. You imagine he's 85. They said, "Joshua, have you got that little garden I asked you about? You think you could set it up where my meds could be delivered by the drugstore? And the grocery boy would pedal by my house and drop off my milk every day. I'm ready. Glory to God." Careful, Uncle Caleb. Careful now. "Hallelujah. I remember them old days. Glory to God." You know how it went with old people. They talk so much about the past. Previous victories and things they've done. Look at this man. What's the matter with him? It's Ruach. He ain't just glorying in what God done. He's glorying in what God's doing and what God's fixing to do.
Thank you, Lord.
Oh my, he said, "As I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, so is my strength now for war." For war, to go out, and oh yes, in case you're wondering, and to come back in, he says. Poor old guy. As people get old, you know, they begin to lose a little bit of beard. Imagine some of them young guys. "Sit down, Uncle Caleb. It's all right. It'll be okay, buddy. It's fine. We'll get that little plant for you. We've got a spot right here in the Kidron Valley. It's right in the center of Israel, and it's real protected. And we've got this real high wall we want to put you around. We're not sure you're any longer safe to be around people. So we'll put people there that'll watch you." And he said, "Glory to God. Hallelujah." "Whoa, wait a minute. Careful, Uncle Caleb, careful. I'm ready to go out. Somebody grab my sword. Who's got my sword? Where's my sword at? I'm ready to go out." In verse 12, he says, "Now therefore, give me this mountain."
Come on, brother.
"Whereof the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest it in the day how the Anakims were there, and the cities are great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, I shall be able to drive them out. as the Lord said. You know what's amazing? Absolutely amazing is when they go into this land, Caleb is not the first one to get his inheritance. He goes around fighting with the rest of the brothers for about 5 more years after they actually make their initial entrance into the land. His deliverance, oh my, his promise is delayed 5 more years. And when they go in initially and they approach the south part of the land, Joshua and the armies actually drive out the sons of Anak. And the sons of Anak leave Hebron. But as they move northward, the sons of Anak move back in. You ever had giants that the Holy Ghost drove out of your life, maybe in a special meeting, and boy, something was really moving and something happened in the presence of God, drive them giants out of your life? And next week or the week after that, you say, what in the world happened? Them very same things are there to fight me again. Take your sword, Caleb. Take your sword, Caleb. They had left. It would have been so much easier if he would have moved in while they were gone. But that wasn't what he wanted. He wanted to face them boys. You imagine in his dreams. What in the world's going on with him? Watch him, he's clutching that hand. He's dreaming about them big necks. What's your giant today? Is it an addiction? Is it a sin, a habit? Oh, Lord God. Pornography, medication, marijuana, who knows what it can be? Grab your sword. But Brother Donnie, it's bigger than me. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried something else. But don't give up on believing. If I tried 1,000 times, I'd still get back up and try 1,001. At least you're trying. Let me see if I can find a place to close. Oh my, you imagine they go in and they drive them out and they head toward the other parts of the country. They actually go over to Philistia. But as the army heads north, here they come back in. Caleb heard about it. He said, hey, the devil's is back. He said, well, that's good. That's real good. I'm glad to hear it. I didn't want to walk in there and just set up camp in the middle of it and move right into that big mansion. And I didn't want to do it without some kind of trouble. Do you folks honestly want to go through this life with no difficulty? How would you stand feeling by martyrs? How would you sisters feel when Sister Symphrosa in the first century A.D. had 7 sons. And they began to persecute her because she was a Christian. And her sons. They take her oldest, tying between 2 horses and pull his arms and his legs off. They take her secondborn and they run him through a spear. On down and on down. Can you imagine Sister Symphrosa as she returns back to church? And they say, Sister, would you want to give a testimony? How would you testify? Or would you even come back to church? I ain't serving God no more. Seeing her youngest one being strangled to death. Next to the youngest, decapitated. Still been able to stand up and say, I want to thank God for victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. We want to go through this life then with no troubles and no heartaches and no difficulty and stand there beside people like that. Not me, friend. I'm not looking for trouble. I'm not looking for trials. But I don't want the kind of faith that can't be tested. I want the kind of faith that God can allow me to be tested. Don't you? Come on, be real. Lord God can allow you. The prophet tells us in Victory Day, he said the greatest thing that ever happened to you is the test. You have found favor in the eyes of God when you are tested. Oh, praise God. The name of Hebron was Kibjath Haberah. Hebron was a very special place given to a very special man. But Hebron has no comparison at all to what you're fixing to enter into. What is the result of your assimilation? Each of us have one. All of us are assimilating things around us every day. Books we read, websites we visit, people we talk to. We're feeding on them and what they're saying. And you'll assimilate what you hear. You'll assimilate what you accept and what you become. That assimilation will change your thinking. It'll change the way you believe. It'll change your pattern of life. You tell me what will be the result of your assimilation. Let's bury it. Hallelujah. Only God knows today what giants you may face in your life. What difficulties. He doesn't promise that it'll be easy for us. He doesn't promise that hardships won't come, but He promises He'll be with us to help us. May God be able to move on your heart today. With every head bowed, no one looking around, please. Maybe some of you here today, we're not going to embarrass you, I promise you. Maybe you have addictions in your life. Maybe you have things that you're bound with. Maybe it's fears, the fear of falling away, the fear of leaving. Maybe some of you are fighting suicide. Only the Lord knows. But I believe we have a high priest here today who's concerned, knows the feeling of our infirmities. Whatever giants you have in your life, maybe it's a wayward child, a wayward husband or wife, a sickness that you've fought for years and years. You get better and then you get worse. You get better and you get worse. You keep believing God and trusting God, whatever it is. Our Lord Jesus is so mindful of you today. If Caleb of old could be able to stand on just one simple promise from a prophet's lips, he didn't have 66 books of the Bible. He didn't have 1,100 tapes to go back and encourage him. Most of his friends died. Most of his loved ones perished in unbelief. Who encouraged this man when he was so down and so low? Yet there was something in him that kept driving him. And we know the scripture goes on to tell us that Caleb goes into that land. And he says, whoever will come and help me fight, I'll give him my wife, my daughter rather, to be his wife. Caleb went right in and his city became a city of refuge. Glory. Hebron became a city of refuge. Hebron also became a city of the Levites, a house of God. It also became one of the royal cities of David. An honor, praise God, to one man's faith. May God help you today, friend. Lord Jesus, as we have our hands uplifted, you see tears trickling down different folks' eyes for different reasons, no doubt. Lord, we're asking you today. I know this has been very simple. It's not deep, it's not overwhelming, but it's something that we can all relate to. We too were Gentiles, but we have been assimilated, hallelujah, into the family of God by marriage. We have married the King's Son, and we become heir of all things. Lord, I pray for those that are sick, those that may be fighting an addiction. Lord, those that are dealing with financial matters in their home, on their job. Maybe it's their family. Satan got between a husband and wife. Whatever it is, Lord Jesus, the circumstances may be difficult, but our God is bigger than the walls. Oh, I imagine that Rahab that day, it must have been a nervous, nervous day, but it must have been a day of rejoicing as well. When she took that cord and hung it out the window, and she believed those messengers' words that when the walls came crumbling down, you would be with her. And her house was left standing, which is a miracle within itself. Lord Jesus, politics doesn't have the answer for the day. Religion doesn't have it, but we know you do. It's dark everywhere we look. Our constitutional rights being violated, the rights of liberty being violated. Who knows what lays before us? But we know we can trust you, Lord. Would you come by this way today, Lord? Would you just move among us, Lord Jesus? How many times did your prophet stand here in this city and the angel of the Lord come down and move for those that were so needy? He's not here today, but you are, Lord. And we don't say that to belittle him in any way. Our needs are as great today as it was in 1963, 1947, 1965.
We've got people hurting and people in distress. So we call upon you, the living God. Hallelujah. And we can say, the Lord is my God. He is my help and my strength in the time of trouble. Lord Jesus, may you minister to the needs of your people today. Hallelujah. May the result of my assimilation be that it will be said about me that it was about Enoch. Donnie was not, for the Lord took him. For he had this testimony that he pleased the Lord. Praise God. Oh Jesus, that's the greatest desire of my heart, is to please you, Lord. If there's anything in my life that displeases you today, Lord God, reveal it to me. Anything I need to make right, anybody around the world I need to apologize to for anything, let me know it, Lord. I'll do it before the sun sets today. I want to be ready, Lord Jesus. I want to be assimilated into the body change. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. Can you just reach out to him now, friends? Oh, glory to God. I feel his anointing here so wonderfully. And earth proclaim all the kings and kingdoms will all pass away. But there's something about. Stand our feet. Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. God bless you, saints. I love you, the Lord. About that name.
Worship him together a little bit. He's worthy of our praise. He's worthy of our worship. Amen. Maybe Satan has tried to attack your life, maybe the last week, maybe last month, maybe for years and years. He's been trying to get you to fall by the wayside. Maybe he's pulled you away. Maybe he's done all kinds of things. Maybe you could be somewhere else this morning. Maybe Satan tried to hinder you from coming and being here. Maybe your testimony is that he's tried to stumble me every step of the way. He's tried to pull me here, pull me there. He's tried to do all kinds of things. Tried to upset me. Tried to get me to walk away. Tried to get me to give up. Tried to get me to pick alcohol back up or drugs or tobacco or whatever you used to be bound by. Somebody say, why is it? How can you stand here this morning then when Satan's tried to keep you all your life away from this? Oh, because mercy, it reigns. Aren't you thankful for that this morning? God's mercy. Yes, Father. Oh, when we should have fallen. When I should have fallen, my soul cast
Maybe they asked Caleb, how on earth did you ever get into this tribe of Judah? Oh, God's mercy. Oh, I might not have been born into it. Oh, but I was introduced to it. Oh, God's mercy. It rewrote my life. Oh, when I should have fallen. So cast down, but mercy. What about you, Rahab? You was a prostitute. You was a Gentile. How'd you ever make it in? Oh, mercy. It rewrote. I didn't deserve it. I couldn't earn it. Oh, but mercy. All my righteousness was as filthy rags in his sight. Oh, when I should have fallen, my soul cast down, but mercy, it rewrote my life. What about you, Ruth? How'd you make it in? Oh, mercy. I was a Moabitess. I was a castaway. I was despised. Oh, but then God's mercy, it rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down. Why don't you make it personal this morning? Each one of us has a testimony of where he came from. What about you? Can you say your testimony this morning is God's mercy, it rewrote. Oh, it may have brought you from a backslidden condition. Oh, God's mercy, it rewrote my life. When I should have fallen, my soul cast down. But mercy, it rewrote my life.
As they play that softly, let's just bow our heads. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for the services we've had. Thank you for the word that we've heard, for the songs that have been sang. Lord, we thank you most of all for your presence. Lord, for without your presence, all the rest would just be empty efforts that would fall on the ground. Lord, but when your presence is here, when the word begins to go forth and the songs are sang and your presence is here, we know that lives can be changed, that faith can be built, that circumstances can be changed, that demons will flee at the very name of Jesus. Oh, they don't flee at my name or Brother Donnie's name or any of these other brothers' names, but there's one name that they're scared to death of. Oh, I'm so thankful to know that name. Not just to be able to pronounce the words or to read the letters on the page, but that I know you as a person. Lord, you're more than a doctrine. You're more than a creed. You're more than some dogma or some man-made idea or tradition, but you're a person. I'm so thankful to know you in your personage, Father. I'm so thankful to know you, not just as my Savior, but as my Lord. Not just as my Lord, but as my friend. Lord, that when sometimes we don't know who else to turn to, Father, we have a friend that sticketh closer than a brother that we can turn to. That maybe when it seems like no one else would understand, that you understand exactly what we're going through. I'm so thankful to know that name. Demons tremble, sinners awake. Oh, Lord, faith in your name makes everything shake. We love you this morning, Jesus. We thank you for where you brought us from. Oh, Lord, you've brought us such a long way. We thank you for all you've done. Thank you for what you've accomplished in this meeting, Lord. I know there's many that have been delivered, many have been healed. Maybe they don't even know it yet, Father, but you are here. And when you're here, Father, things happen. When you're here, all things are possible. Maybe they haven't even recognized the manifestation of some of the things that you've done in these meetings. Lord, but maybe next week they'll begin to realize, you know, that back that was so sore, it doesn't seem like it's hurting anymore. That temptation that was so strong doesn't seem like it even bothers me. That addiction that I couldn't get away from, I don't even think about anymore. All those arguments that my family used to have all the time, it seems like we never fight anymore. And those discouragement, depressing feelings that I'd always have of an evening, just seems like now all I want to do is praise and rejoice the Lord in the cool of the evening, like Adam and Eve did. Oh, they may not recognize it yet, but you've done something for them, Lord. Oh, when you're here, Father, all things are possible. We love you, Lord. We give you glory. We give you praise for all that you're doing. Lord, may you just continue to move. We know you're not a God of the past, but you're a God of the now. Lord, we know that we may not know what tomorrow holds, but you hold tomorrow. That you'll be there for us when we reach whatever the trials laying ahead of us are. We may have great obstacles in our way in the future, Father. We don't know all that the future holds. But as long as I'm holding to your hand, Father, Lord, no matter the obstacle, Father, I believe you'll be able to carry us over it or around it or under it or through it, Father, if we'll just keep clinging to your hand, Father. Give us strength for the journey. Give us wisdom, we pray. Protect each one, Father. Many traveling today back home in the rain. I ask that you just protect them on the roads. May your angels camp about them, Father. May you be the unseen guest in their home, in their vehicles, on their job, at their schools. Just protect them, lead them, and guide them each step of the way, we pray, Father. Thank you for all that you've done, all that you're doing, all that you continue to do. We love you, Father. Oh, I don't know what else to say, Father, but we just love you. We're so thankful, Jesus. Amen. Let's sing this together. Oh, create in me a clean heart, oh God, and renew a right spirit. Your desire this morning. Oh, cast me not away from thy presence, oh Lord. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. They play that softly. I know I've told the church this before, but I know we have many visitors and just feel impressed to say it again. It's always astounded me so much. When David goes to write the words to this psalm, he's just gone through the biggest failure that he's ever made. The greatest sin that he ever had in his life. He's not only taken a man's wife and slept with her and impregnated her, but now he's had this man killed. And the prophets come and told him that the sword will never leave his house because of this, and that the throne is going to be taken from his children because of this failure and this fault. His baby has died. He goes in, falls down before the Lord, and begins to pen this psalm. No doubt David felt like a failure. No doubt he felt like maybe he'd never rise above all this despair that he was in. But yet God anoints him, even in that condition, Brother Larry. The lowest point of his life. And God anoints him to write these words. And he anoints him in such a way that the psalm that's written at the lowest point of David's life is even in our Bibles. He didn't say, I'm not gonna deal with you for 6 years. I'm never going to anoint you again. I'm not going to forgive you. You have to do penance for 25 years, and you can't come back to me until you've prayed through for 7 weeks and fasted for 5 months. But David falls down right after the middle of the sin. He begins to pen, "Create in me a clean heart, O God. Cast me not away. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." God looks down and says, "I know he's a failure. I know he's committed sin. I know he's a murderer and an adulterer, but he's a man after my own heart." Because even through David's faults and failures, the first thing he did, he didn't blame God, he didn't blame the pastor, he didn't blame his family. He turns and begins to repent and said, "God, please, I know I've made a mistake, but don't cast your Holy Spirit away from me. I can't live without your presence. I can't live without the joy of my salvation. I can't live knowing that I can't enter into that presence and worship you." Oh, it's time we get desperate, friends. Maybe Satan's beat you over the head for years with things, but it's not playing around time anymore. I don't want to live a day outside of his presence. I don't want Satan to rob me and live a day without the joy of my salvation. I don't want him to rob me without peace. I don't want him to rob me of all these things that he tries to. I don't want to spend a day in that condition. I don't want him to convince me that I've got to do all kinds of works and penance and things for years and years or months and months before I can ever enter back into that presence. God's always there waiting with his arms open. Come back, my child. He's ready to forgive you. You say, "Oh no, Brother Nathan, I've gone too far." If you'd gone too far, you wouldn't be here this morning. There wouldn't be anything within you that would want to let you even enter a place like this. Why don't you cry out like David this morning? Maybe you've made mistakes. Maybe you're at the lowest point in your life. Maybe Satan's got you all bound up and tore up, and you think you just don't know what to do or where to turn. I can tell you that much. I don't have all the answers, but I can tell you where to turn to. Amen. Turn to him. Look to him one time. Maybe you've been around the message so long and people have looked at you as some type of a spiritual leader or something, and you have too much pride to admit that you've never entered fully in to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost like you'd like to. Don't let Satan let your pride keep you from it. Maybe you say, "Oh, I couldn't go down there to an altar and pray and cry and weep. All my people would think all kinds of things about me." I don't care what people think about me. I care what he thinks about me. Oh, I don't care. Let them say what they want. Let them do what they want. They can try to take our lives if they want, but they can't take us till he's ready. Amen. Let's sing it again together. Oh, Lord, just create in us that clean heart this morning, we pray. Don't take away your salvation. Don't take away your Holy Spirit. Oh, create in me. Oh, he will this morning if you really want it. And renew a right spirit within me. Let's just worship him this morning. Oh, create in me a clean heart. Oh, sing it again together. Oh, create in me. A right spirit within me.
It's Jesus. Rock of my salvation, Hosanna, blessed be the rock, oh blessed be the rock of my salvation, Jehovah Jireh is his name, for he provideth all my needs, Jehovah Jireh is his name. Supplieth all my need. Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, oh blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh blessed be the rock, oh blessed be the rock of my salvation. Glory, glory to his name. Evermore. Oh, glory, glory to his name. He lives and reigns forevermore. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, oh, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, magnify the Lord, for he is worthy to be praised. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Hosanna, blessed be the rock. Oh, blessed be the rock of my salvation. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, you have done what this world could never do. You showed me the message, gave me peace. You've surely been good to me. You showed me, you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You saved my soul when I was lost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. Oh, Lord, 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 you've surely been good to me. You have done what this world could never do. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You fill me with the Holy Ghost. You've surely been good to me. You have done what this